tatra rabata govindo tatra bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Rasa krida manuvratai Sri ratnaya rambita pritai Anyonya Bhadda Bahubi Tratra Rabata Govindo Rasakridam Anubratai Sri Ratnaya Rambita Pritai Anyonya Bhadda Bahubi Tatra there. Arabhata began. Govinda. Lord Krishna. Rasa Kridam. The pastime of the Rasa dance. Anubratai. By the faithful. Gopis. Stri of women. Ratnai. The jewels, Ambitaha, joined, Pritai, who were satisfied, Anyonya, among one another, Abadha, entwining, Bahubhi, their arms. There on the Jamuna's banks, Lord Govinda then began the pastime of the Rasa dance, in the company of those jewels among women, the faithful gopis, who joyfully linked their arms together. There's no purport to this verse. Although there is a commentary in this book. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when the actions of singing, dancing, kissing, and embracing combine together, they produce rasa. Amusement composed of rasa is called rasa kridam, or the rasa dance. Joyfully entwining their arms together, Krishna played with those gopis, the jewels among women, who were now favourably disposed, anubratai. Because previously the gopis weren't so favourably disposed towards Krishna. Why is that? Because he disappeared on them. Is there an act of devotion over there by any chance? Beauty. Okay, just in case I forget anything. Yeah, that's all right. Right. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Jaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam didatti svapatantikam mukam karo divachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande shri gurum dinatayanam paramanandamanavam shri chaitanya ishvaram. Krishna manifests his pastimes in different stages. And there's the early childhood, there's the baby, really, because Krishna's a baby. And then there's the childhood pastimes, Kumara. So Pauganda, Kumara, Kaishor. And Prabhupada says basically Kaishor is adolescence. And at that stage of his adolescence or growing up, then whilst Krishna is always beautiful, his beauty and attractiveness expands, just as we see in a young adolescent. Then there's the blossoming of youth, if you like. Just like this morning, I was walking to the temple, and I saw two of the Albert Park matrons walking on their morning walk. And you know, when you get to a certain age, then you're, this is just to contrast this point, then your life force is almost spent. So you know, there's cracks around the mouth and around the eyes, and you know, your nose goes red and your lips go red, and you look a little bit sort of all crunched up. Life force has been spent. Right? But in youth or adolescence, early youth, then, or the budding of youth, if you like, then there's an effulgence and a countenance and a aura, if you like. Aura, is that a good word to use? Aura of what's the word? Life, I guess you could say. The life force is powerful, it's strong. So, of course, you know, our manifestation of these symptoms is a pale reflection of the actual spiritual nature and the reality of the spiritual realm. But still, to give some idea, we can see in the beginning of youth, then we can see the beauty, even from the material point of view. Right? The material realm is a reflection, albeit a pale reflection, of the spiritual realm. So we can get some indication of these, of the characteristic or the qualities of the spiritual realm by looking at the characteristics and the qualities that we even see within ourselves. The Prabhupada gives the example of the if you want to analyse what the quality of the ocean is, then you take a drop of the water out and look at the quality of that, and then you can ascertain what is the quality of the ocean. So the drop of water is liquid, it's wet, it's salty, so we can understand. That's also the quality. So Prabhupada says we can analyse ourselves even and understand, because we are a part and parcel of the Godhead. So similarly then we can understand the quality of the Godhead by analysing ourselves. Self-realisation. Right? Because self-realisation means understanding ourselves and understanding Krishna. And it's not to be speculated upon. Right? Generally speaking, because we have the four defects of conditioned souls, then we don't depend on our own analysis or speculation on things, but rather we take the information we accept as trustworthy or reliable, we take it from the authority, from the Shastra, from the Vedas, or from the spiritual master, or from Krishna. But anyway, in Krishna's Kaishor age, then there is a beauty, there is a hue, there's a luster, if you like, or a quality to Krishna's personality, which is just overwhelmingly attractive. Krishna manifests, it's described in the Bhakti Rasamrita in the Nectar of Devotion, how Krishna manifests his beauty and this effulgence which just overcomes the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis. They just can't think of anything other than Krishna. They cannot be attracted to anything other than Krishna. Or if they're attracted to something, it's because it's a quality or a characteristic. That thing has a quality or a characteristic that reminds them of Krishna. Krishna's just so attractive. He's so strong and handsome. His smile and the movement of his eyebrows is so attractive and playful, teasing, if you like. There's a quotation in the Nectar of Devotion where it's described, Krishna has become the guru of the cowherd damsels of Braj. And he's teaching them all of the intricacies of loving affairs. Right. So how to tease each other, how to quarrel, how to meet. There are six items of these loving exchanges described by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. There's making peace and quarrelling. This is the nature of loving. Then there's meeting, and then there's separation. And negotiations and supporting. Getting support. I guess we can imagine these things, the kind of games that we used to play when we were kids at school. You get your boyfriends and your girlfriends to be go-betweens and then make reunions and unions, then have arguments, and then separate. Oh, I'm not talking to him anymore. So Krishna is the guru of the gopis, in that he's teaching them all of the. Although the gopis, see, the quandary for the gopis is that they're already married, so they're already or they're betrothed to somebody else, or they have their families as their guardians, and so their responsibility is to their. But they're still so attracted to Krishna that they and they can't break that attraction, they can't break that affection. Even though they may be in a sense, compromised, if you like. So it's these pastimes, the rasa krida, the mixing, if you like, of the rasas, of the mellows, of the exchanges between Krishna and the gopis, is the pinnacle, if you like, of the manifestation of Krishna's enjoyment. Easily misunderstood is described. The mood of the gopis is to enjoy with Krishna. There is no doubt about that. But the mood of the gopis in wanting to enjoy with Krishna is not motivated by material conditions or material motivations, but rather it is impelled, or its impetus is pure spiritual service attitude, basically. It is not a material thing. Although externally, from the external point of view, the interaction between Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and the gopis, 3 million gopis, as described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is such that it appears to be just like the mundane affairs of sexual enjoyment, and so is often misunderstood or misconceived by persons of a materialistic bent. Even devotees become confused or bewildered by these pastimes. Basically because they need to be approached with the same purity of heart that the gopis manifest in wanting to associate with Krishna. Their wanting to associate with Krishna is not, whilst it appears to be, it is not of the mundane realm. And so, therefore, it's difficult to understand. Difficult to understand and appreciate the pastime of the rasa dance. In fact, one is warned not to study it. In fact, unless one approaches with the right the right attitude, the right mentality. One has to be pure-hearted. It's interesting, though, in our line, in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished these pastimes. All pastimes. Actually, all of the pastimes of Krishna are relishable. But Prabhupada says in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that wherever you taste the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's sweet. Right? Wherever we taste the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if it's, you know, the manifestation of the material world, or the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev, or Dhruva Maharaj and Lord Narayan, whatever. All of the activities of Krishna, as far as the devotees are concerned, are sweet and relishable. Not that they discriminate against one or another. But, however, it is understood that of all of the pastimes of Krishna, the pastime of the rasa dance has the greatest amount of rasa or relationship. And because it demonstrates the most intimate affairs, loving dealings between Krishna and his devotee, or Krishna and his internal potency, then it is the sweetest, if you like. You can have sweets, and then you can have more sweets, and you can have most sweets. It's still all sweet. Right? Like Shrikhand is not, well, it's not meant to be a very highly sweet sweet. Right? Not as sweet as a gulab jamun. But it's still sweet and relishable. In fact, the varieties of taste need to be there in order to appreciate all of the different flavours and relationships and identities and so forth that exist within the creation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is Krishna himself, he was attracted to experiencing the rasa, or the pleasure that was experienced by the gopis. So Krishna himself appeared in order to taste and experience the mellows of love that were experienced by Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So it's in our line, if you like, to understand these pastimes of Radha and Krishna in their proper light. That's our business. We should understand these things. We shouldn't shy away from understanding Krishna's pastimes, even though these are the most intimate, and even there are warnings. We should not, you know, one shouldn't study these things prematurely or immaturely. So then, how to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? It's not that difficult, actually. First of all, we are recommended to approach Radha and Krishna, the neophyte devotee, or the beginner, if you like, is recommended to approach Radha and Krishna through Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Very simple. It's not very difficult at all. In fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says it is more important to chant the name of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda than it is to chant the name of Radha and Krishna. Interesting. He says that. If you do anything, he says, don't chant the name of Radha and Krishna, chant the name of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are capable, special, merciful incarnations of the Lord, who by chanting their names and becoming purified by their mercy, one then becomes qualified to approach Radha and Krishna. So one has to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in order to become eligible to approach Radha and Krishna. And of course that's Lord Chaitanya's mood. His mood was approaching Radha and Krishna's pastimes, not in the mood of Krishna, because he is Krishna, but in the mood of a servant. This is really the feature, if you like, of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, is manifesting as a servant. What's Lord Chaitanya say? Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. I am a servant of the master of the gopis, but many times removed. Das Das Anudas. And it's interesting. in order to approach Radha and Krishna, it is recommended that we follow not simply Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, but more specifically we should follow the intimate associates or the servants of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. In particular, the Sad Goswamis. There's songs by Narottam Das Thakur, where he says, "When will I become purified of my material desires, so that I can then enter into the intimate understanding of Krishna's spiritual, eternally spiritual and pure pastimes?" And this is the problem, for most people. The reason why we can't enter into the pastimes of Krishna is because we're still thinking that we are Krishna. This is a big problem. We think, I am the enjoyer. In other words, we're trying to usurp Krishna's position. But of course, we see with the pastimes of Krishna, the Rasa Leela performed by Krishna lasted for how long? Yes, how long is that? A long time. How much can, if we say we could perform our Rasa Leela, how long could we last for? 30 seconds? 60 seconds? Papa gives this example. Material sex life means you're finished in a very short amount of time, and then it becomes distasteful. Right? Any enjoyment in the material world becomes distasteful after some point in time, because it's all relative. Right? Just like getting, drinking, say for example. We're drinking, having a great time. Then wake up in the morning. What happened? That was the worst night of my life. The material enjoyment starts off good, but ends in misery. But Krishna's, the Rasa Leela, the spiritual pastime, they're eternal. They have no, there's no cessation, practically speaking, of the spiritual. What to speak of other obvious characteristics that make it completely, Krishna expands himself 3 million times. If he's going to be personally present with each one of the gopis, that means he's expanding himself 3 million times.
Billion.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says 3 million. I mean 3 billion, which is weird. Take your choice. Right? It's not a big deal for Krishna. 3 billion, 3 million. No problem. It's not a problem for him. So, entering into the understanding of these pastimes, just gonna lock that door. Just push the. We're recommended by Krishna Das Kaviraj in order to understand these things in the proper perspective. Then, in other words, we have to change our mood of I am the enjoyer to the same mood as that of the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan. We have to change it into the mood of I am Krishna's servant. You know, actually, the mood of enjoyer is an infection. It's a contamination. It's like a disease that we've become infected with. And it has to be, we have to be disinfected. Right? We become disinfected by following Chaitanya and Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Of course, Lord Chaitanya has given us the means by which we become purified. What's that? Chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, very simple. Right? Kaliya dosha nidhi rajan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but it has one mahaguna, one good quality. Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parambrajet. We can get to the supreme destination by chanting Hare Krishna. Now, how do we chant Hare Krishna? We do so under the direction of the spiritual master. We do so in the context of the Sankirtan movement, preaching. This is Lord Nityananda's mercy, if you like. Is chanting Hare Krishna, but then going out and preaching to others. And also following the detailed practices, if you like, the detailed process of devotional service. Therefore, it is recommended that in order to approach Radha and Krishna's, because Narottam Das Thakur prays, you know, where will I become purified? When I get Lord Nityananda's mercy, when I get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. What is it? Gauranga Bolite? Shudanam, isn't it? Is it Hare Krishna? When will the hairs of my body stand on end when I chant the name of Krishna? So we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by chanting Hare Krishna. We can be relieved of our material contamination, if you like, our material affection, if we can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, following the instructions, basically, of the spiritual master. And he says, when will I understand the teachings of the Goswamis? So Prabhupada mentions, actually, if we want to follow the instructions of Krishna Das Kaviraj, and we want to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and the mercy of the Goswamis, then it's recommended that we study the books of the Goswamis, especially Prabhupada says the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or for us the Nectar of Devotion. Because the Nectar of Devotion teaches us how to practice the process of devotional service. Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya's mood in relishing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna with Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar is a symptom of a Prema Bhakta. And Prabhupada mentions Prema Bhakta means one who's able to relish and dive into the pastimes of Krishna and just enjoy them. But Prabhupada makes the point, he said that not many people are on that stage of devotional service. He says, we're in the process of sadhana bhakti. He says, basically, sadhana bhakti means one who's trying to improve himself. In other words, there's some material contamination still within the heart. It needs to be removed. Huh? So, by studying the teachings, actually, just by studying basic, very elevated, but still what we consider to be the basics, Bhagavad Gita, ABCs, you're not the body, you're a spirit soul, you should be acting in a particular way. And the acting in a particular way, the details are given to us by the Goswamis. Which is interesting. The Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, gives us the very basics. Here's how you behave when you're just a toddler. Hare Krishna toddler, which is most of us, you know. Rise early in the morning, take a bath, clean your teeth. You know, put on your tilak, put your dhoti on, go to Mangalartik. This is basic. But not only not just the basic things. Also, because they're the external, there's the external things. But more importantly, Rupa Goswami expounds or teaches us also the internal basics, if you like. Avoiding offences, right? Avoiding offences while we're working with the devotees. Avoiding offences when we're worshipping the deity. Avoiding offences when we chant Hare Krishna. So there's more, you know. In one sense, we start out on like the yogis. They start out with postures and so forth. You know, external, somewhat external. The aim of the external practice is to bring about control of the internal. And in one sense, our process is very similar to that. We do the externals, chant 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's somewhat external, if you like. But it's aimed at, focused on bringing us to the point where we can relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna as prema bhaktas. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our process. In fact, that's what we're doing. When we have the Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning, that's what we're doing. We're relishing the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. But in order to relish these pastimes, especially because the external manifestation appears to be just like the activities of the materialists in their sexual pursuits, one has to approach the pastimes of Radha and Krishna with a supremely, extremely pure heart. Right? And so therefore it's recommended one has to follow the process of devotional service, the external, but then especially the internal purification of consciousness. So that then when we're relishing and hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we're not going to be disturbed by material inspiration, if you like, aspiration, or disturbance. Basically, it's a disturbance. Material desires are a disturbance, anathema for the devotee, because the devotee, you know, the material desires, the infection of material desires is predicated by this point of ignorance, basically, that I'm the enjoyer, which is patently not the fact. You know, if you analyse, you know, any one of our attempts to enjoy in the material world always ends up with what?
Prestige.
Supreme ecstasy. Right? I often tease the Sunday feast guests with this point. You know, who wants to be happy? Everybody puts their hands up. I said, okay, who's always absolutely ecstatic every day? Nobody puts their hands up. It's hard to find people who are only occasionally they're ecstatic. And yet we're all working so hard in the material world to get happiness, but what do we get? I never promised you a rose garden. Certainly all we got is thorns. We thought we were going to live in a rose garden, fragrant and pleasant, enjoyable, but all we got was a bed of thorns. But still, the infection is so strong. The amazing thing, you know, despite the fact, as pointed out by the charge, you know, we've faithfully served the mind and the senses for so many lifetimes. And still we're not happy. But despite the fact that we're not happy, still we haven't got rid of the desire to enjoy the material world. This is patent stupidity when you think about it. So therefore, we need to take shelter. We need to take shelter of somebody. So it is recommended, in order for us to be able to approach Radha and Krishna, it is recommended we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and the personal associates of the disciples, their personal disciples, especially the personal associates and disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is the six Goswamis. Because the Goswamis very kindly have given us the practice by which we can move from sadhana, improving devotees, to improved, right? Purified. There are different stages in the chanting of Hare Krishna. First is offensive. But then we are recommended, and by studying Rupa Goswami's literature and the literature of the other acharyas, we can understand that what those offences are, and then we can come to the stage of sadhana bhakti. And in sadhana bhakti, that means chanting Hare Krishna, but then gradually removing the... So we're in the clearing stage. And it's interesting, Prabhupada mentions that automatically, if we can elevate ourselves to the stage of clearing devotee, then as we become cleared, then automatically our ability to appreciate and understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna becomes manifest. Not like we have to do anything, you know, extraneous. Like Prabhupada mentions, the chanting of Hare Krishna is not an artificial imposition, but rather it's an uncovering of that which is naturally within us. Interesting. So in order to understand the rasa, what is it? Rasa krida. Yeah, rasa kridam. Which means the pastimes of the rasa dance. We actually have to approach in the mood of a servant. It's nice in the Krishna book, Prabhupada mentions, you know, how everybody in the material world is dancing. Everybody is dancing. So Krishna is dancing and the gopis, he said, everybody is dancing, but in the material world we're dancing thinking that we're Krishna. Huh? So we have to develop the mood of dancing with the mood of dancing for Krishna's pleasure, which was the mood of the gopis. They were dancing for Krishna's pleasure. And we learn how to dance for Krishna's pleasure by following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and the Goswamis of Vrindavan, the six Goswamis. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Excuse me.
Just noticed the two words rasa given in nectar devotion only has a short A, whereas the rasa dance or the rasa lila is a long A. Is there any distinction between the two meanings?
Ras and rasa.
Rasa, Prabhupada says rasa dance means girls and boys dancing together.
Right? Like you said, translates as mellow.
Yes, mellow. So there must be a difference between the two, obviously. Look it up, shall we? Yep. Rasa. Transcendental mellow or humour. And rasa lila. Rasa means transcendental humour, short A, rasa. And rasa means girls and boys dancing together. So Prabhupada explains it. Like, hey, you want to add anything? That's what it is. They're different words. Yeah, different, definitely different. Rasa dance, rasa lila is different to ras, transcendental mellow or humour. Good. So there's something to be aware of. Rasa, transcendental mellow or relationship is different to rasa. Rasa lila. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So in the Krishna book, that's what Prabhupada says. means dancing between boys and girls. Did any of you used to go to the high school socials as kids?
Embarrassing. I went to school camp. That's a classic.
That's not quite the same thing.
Dance together and there would always be I'm a dad.
Anyway, it's enjoyment. We can get a glimpse of these things in the activities of the material world, but in the spiritual realm, manifest in their purity, pure state. Anything else? Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.